at your heart when someone leaves and you don't know why. I can see that you've been hurt.
Those cloudy days. We don't want cloudy days. We want to move those clouds away and make life a little bit easier today with Dr. Raymond Hamdan, clinical and forensic psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. Listening there to the Eagles, and they are coming to the UAE, in fact to the Middle East, for the very first time, and we've got them. How fortunate are we? On April the 12th, they're going to be playing at the Sevens Stadium in Dubai, and it's very exciting. Such a great band with a great back catalogue of hits, and that's just one of them. No More Cloudy Days. So yeah, check out Hard Rock Cafe Dubai presenting Eagles Live in Dubai. Very exciting on April the 12th, and stay tuned to Dubai Eye 103.8 as we'll be giving out more details of how you can get tickets over the coming weeks. So yeah, very, very excited about that. Are you a fan of the Eagles, Dr. Raymond?
Of course, I'm old enough to be. Yeah, they're a great group. Such melodic music. It's just absolutely gorgeous stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very well talented musicians. I'm also a fan of Chicago, Blood, Sweat and Tears. Those are really great bands. I'm actually a fan of the Beatles. Mm. The Beatles actually revolutionized music. Before that, for a couple of decades, it was only 3-4 chord sounds that were all we were getting music. And what they brought into the factor was all these great themes and theories of music. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but Blood, Sweat and Tears and Chicago were professional musician professors at universities who decided, hey guys, let's make some good music, let's revolutionize music as the Beatles did, and make some extra money. It pays more than teaching at a university.
It paid off for them.
Yeah, the Eagles were also brilliant, excellent musicians.
Yeah, so hopefully that brings a little bit of relaxation into your day, hearing a bit of the Eagles there. And, you know, music can be a great de-stressor, as we're talking about stress this morning. And any questions for Dr. Raymond, 4001 is the text number, or you can tweet at Suzanne Radford. And thank you to our caller just before the news there, Anas, sharing his story. And one of the things to come out of that conversation was the idea of working smart rather than working hard or long hours. And a couple of people have come back and saying, you know, what does that actually mean, working smart?
Working smart means that you're not working hard for nothing for long hours. A lot of people have the wrong concept, thinking that if you put in 12 or 15 hours, you must be doing good work. Actually, if you're doing that much time and you're not a lawyer who needs that much time, but of course you got to prepare all your statements and cases like that, most professions don't really require that kind of time period in a day. Many people can actually work in a 6-hour day and be more productive, and this is what the research shows. People who work in a way that they can have a daily balance in their life work smart. What that means is they get more done in a shorter amount of time because they're focused on it. Here's how the research works. Back in the early 80s, late 70s, the U.S. postal system, when it was not part of the U.S. postal system, was actually privately taken, wanted to do some research on people who were saying, we want a 3-day weekend. We don't have enough time on the weekend to do the things that we wanted to get done. So the Department of Labor says you have to work 40 hours a week. So they worked 4 days, 10 hours each day. Big mistake. People would come in at 7 o'clock in the morning, knowing that they wouldn't leave until 6 o'clock because that hour time for lunch. And they said, well, I'm going to be having a long day. I'll just do this later. So I'm going to walk down the hall, go see Suzanne, see how things went yesterday at the ball game, look at various kinds of programs that she may have been watching or movies that she may have seen. And then here comes lunchtime. Now, lunchtime is an hour. You get stuffed, you feel tired, you don't want to work in the afternoon. So you say, well, you know, I'm going to be here 10 hours tomorrow. I'll just save this till tomorrow. They stopped that. Somebody said, why don't we try a 6-day work week with a half a day each day? Again, 40 hours. I think it came to about 6 hours and 25 minutes a day. Turned out to be the most effective work schedule. People would come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, knowing that they were going to leave by 2:30. In other words, what they would do is they wouldn't take the lunch break. They would start working. They wouldn't have time to go see Suzanne because they would say, I've only got 6 hours. Let me get this done because after work, I can go pick up the kids from school, help my wife with the shopping, or help my husband get to cut the grass by doing some things that he needed for this. People were actually working smarter by working more effectively in that 6 hour and a half a day. Now, the interesting thing is they weren't sitting at their desk working 100% of the time. What people realize is that the brain is like a muscle, and this is the other factor that's very important. You don't go into a gym and pump iron for 2 hours or 3 hours nonstop. You do certain repetitions, you take a break, whether it's 30 seconds to a minute and a half, then you do more repetitions. The brain's the same way. You can work for 25 minutes, take 5 minutes off. 45 minutes, take 10 or 15 minutes off. Work an hour and a half, take 30 minutes off. Even if you don't think you need it, it's important to do that. Simply because if you exhaust the brain like a muscle, it's not going to be as effective. You make mistakes, and it takes too long to correct mistakes. So time yourself on any project. Work 25 minutes, take 5 off. And when you're taking that 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or 30 minutes off, don't do anything that's work-related. Take a walk. Go talk to a friend. Read part of a book that's nothing related to work. Be doing something that is relaxing for you.
And that takes your mind away from that intensity.
So when you come back, you come back more refreshed, and you're able to see whatever you may have needing correction from the what you were doing before. So what that means then is that if you treat the brain like a muscle, work 25, take 5 off, 45 minutes, take 15 off, work an hour and a half, take 30 minutes off, you actually can get more done in less time. Because what we also see from the research in industrial psychology is in an 8-hour work day, 2.8 hours are really productive. 2.5 hours are semi-productive. The rest of it is just paper pushing. So what people need to realize is that working smart means you can actually get more work done effectively in less time if you know how to treat your brain like a muscle, and if you focus on the work that you're doing at that time, realizing that when you work too hard, you make mistakes, and it takes too long to correct those mistakes. Here's what happened, though, for the 6-day, half-day work week. The U.S. government also said, you can't work people 6 days. It has to be 5. So what do? We go back to 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, a semi-productive system.
But even within that 8 hours a day, if you're taking proper breaks and you are getting, you know, it's important to, I think, for every individual to get some fresh air, to get some sunlight, to go out of the office, even if it's just for 10 minutes, have a little walk around and come back in, just to get out of the indoor environment, to get out of the sitting in the same position for long periods of time.
Even when you don't think you should, you better do it anyway.
Do it. And when you come back, you'll work more efficiently and you'll work smartly. Yeah. It seems so simple, and yet we so often don't follow. Try it. Try it today. Try it this afternoon. If you're on your way to work or coming back from a meeting, going to work, and you think, actually, I'm going to work for an hour and then I'm going to take 15 minutes and go and do something completely different, and see how you are when you come back to your work station. Let's go to the text messages here. And quite a distressing text has come in. I'm a male, 33. And I am very stressed, and it's affecting my body, my rhythm of life, my mind. It's very complicated. I can't explain exactly why in this text message. It's to do with a relationship, and it's also to do, and as they're describing it here, a loss of value, goals in life, and it's making me feel lost. Any hints as to what I can do?
Let me do better than hints. Let me give you exactly what to do. You need to write down 4 words: work, play, love, worship. Work has to do with your productivity, and that's how you define being productive. What is your contribution to the environment, to your community, and not being a burden on society? It could be an earned income, being a student, you could be doing volunteer work, you could actually be a parent at home and be productive. Depends on how you define that. Recreation is where you redefine and recreate non-stressful situations. That's play. It could be hobbies or sports. And every day you need to have time for both. It's not like waiting to the weekend to go play golf. Because by the time the weekend comes, if you've been working 5 or 6 days of hard work, you're going to be too exhausted to play golf or anything else. The other thing is that relationships are very important. Your relationship with God, your fellow human beings, romance, as well as family. Now, these are very important to have on a daily basis, simply because you need that kind of nourishment, that kind of sense of belonging. And then also, a lot of people forget the spiritual aspects, that what is your mission statement in life? And that's where you define your values, your attitude, your traditions, your customs, as well as your boundaries. That has to do with morals, ethics, and hundreds of different things that could come under that. So every day, you need to be doing those four things: work, play, love, and worship. And that's how you define them. Now, in the programs that we do, it's called Balanced for Life. And that's the number four in the middle there. And those are the four things that we do. And in the book that I've got in manuscript form now that hopefully will be published pretty soon, it's called Balanced for Life Before Burnout. And it talks about these very same things that's based on research that is internationally standardized.
We left Dubai after 20 years. Back home, unemployed, my husband had a psychotic breakdown where he was hospitalized and medicated. 3 months later, we came back to Dubai, and that was 4 years ago. The job is coming to an end, and we will again have to leave. What is the likelihood he will have another breakdown, as the situation back home in Egypt is worse than 4 years ago? When we come back, we'll address that and more.